Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Ephesians 5 and 8. I really am glad to see you tonight. We've got ones that are sick tonight, can't be here, so I'm really just thankful to be well and be in the house of the Lord. It's a blessing. We should never take it for granted when we can come into the house of the Lord. Ephesians 5 and 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have a word from the Lord tonight. And I know that the people that need to hear it are here tonight. And what I ask us to do tonight, I'm going to read this word. I'm going to read the word over us. I'm going to speak the word over us. And what I ask of us tonight is to not leave Jesus on read, but to respond. Respond to the word. When you feel it pulling on your heart, respond. You can respond while I'm preaching. Respond to the word of the Lord. I want to preach from this title tonight, Against the Dying of the Light. Against the Dying of the Light. Let's pray one more time. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into your presence. Thank you, Lord, for this, Lord, this peace in your presence that we feel. But, Lord, I also feel a power in your presence tonight. And I know that you are here, present, and ready to touch someone's life, to save someone's soul, or to pull someone out of the pit, to turn somebody's life around. I believe that tonight. And I believe that you're going to use this word to change lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. In Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands one more time to the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing and worshiping. Against the dying of the light. And those words might sound familiar. You probably have heard them before in different kinds of media. You may know the poem that I'm referencing. There's a poem written by Dylan Thomas, I think, maybe in the 1950s, called Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night. And the poem was written as his father was approaching death. And Thomas writes these words, Do not go gentle into that good night. And then he says several times through the poem, Rage, rage against the dying of the light. He wasn't writing a sermon. He wasn't talking about the Holy Ghost. He wasn't talking about prayer. He wasn't talking about revival. He was talking about physical death. He was talking about his father approaching the end of his life, and he's telling him, don't go gentle into that. Don't go gentle into that darkness. Rage against the dying of the light. And those words, I think, are more famous than the title of the poem itself. But he was talking about physical death, not spiritual things. But there is something in those words that speaks to my spirit. Because there is a kind of dying that happens before the funeral. There is a kind of dying that can happen before we take our last breath in this life. And there's a kind of death that can happen while you're still breathing here tonight. A person can still walk. They can still talk. They can still work. They can still smile. They can still come to church. They can still shake hands. They can still sing songs. They can still know the language. And yet something inside of them can be dying. The light can begin to disappear. The fire can begin to go out. The burden can begin to fade. The hunger can begin to disappear. The desire to pray can begin to weaken. The desire to worship can just become mechanical. And this is what's scary, is that sometimes, many times, we don't notice until the light is almost gone that the light is almost gone. We notice it in ourselves. We don't notice it as much in others because we put on that fake smile and we go through the motions in worship. We go through the motions in church. We go through the motions in life and in relationships and with the people in our lives. And we put on that mask. And many times we don't notice until it's almost gone, because it doesn't happen overnight. It happens one compromise at a time. Church, I just have to preach straight to us tonight, and I hope it's okay. It happens one compromise at a time. One missed prayer meeting, one neglected Bible study, one offense that we refuse to release in our life, one wound that we refuse to let God heal, one Sunday where we worship a little less, one Wednesday where we decide we're too tired, one prayer that we don't pray, one conviction that we ignore, one time that we say, I'll deal with it later, and slowly the flame gets smaller. The light gets dimmer, and eventually darkness begins to feel normal. But I come with a message and a word and a phrase and a charge from the Lord tonight that somebody needs to rage against the dying of the light inside of you. Somebody needs to make up in your mind tonight, I'm not going to let this light die. And I came to preach to somebody who has noticed that something is not like it used to be. Somebody who knows I'm not praying like I used to pray. I'm not worshiping like I used to worship. I'm not hungry like I used to be hungry. I'm not burdened like I used to be burdened. I'm not excited like I used to be excited about the things of God. I don't have a zeal and a passion for the ministry in my life like I used to have. But I want to tell you that God spoke into my spirit and he told me that I've got some people in this church that need to rage against the dying of the light in their life. Somebody in this place tonight needs to rage against that feeling that the light is going out in my life. I want to tell you tonight that you don't have to accept a spiritual death, and you don't have to settle for coldness, and you don't have to live forever with the fire turned down. You don't have to die spiritually. You don't have to sit on that pew and deteriorate. You don't have to. Oh, come on, somebody. I wish somebody'd hear me tonight. You don't have to sit on that pew and die. You don't have to come to church and die service after service. Tonight is a night to find your way back to the altar. Tonight is a night to find your way back to consecration. Tonight is a night to rage against the dying of the light in your life. You have to forgive me, y'all. I think everybody in here is pretty used to me preaching. I'm not going to apologize for my zeal tonight. Jesus is the light. John 8:12, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus didn't say, I've got some light I can give you. He said, I am the light. He is the source. He is the hope. He is the life. He is the light inside of you. And If we want the light to keep burning in us, we've got to stay connected to the source of it. We've got to stay connected to Him. You can't, hear me tonight, you can't disconnect from the source and expect the light to continue indefinitely. It seems so simple, but how can we lose sight of something so simple? But we do. We think I can be disconnected from the source and the fire will keep burning, but it doesn't work that way. Well, when prayer starts to go out, we start to lose connection. When fasting starts to go, when attendance starts to go, when dedication starts to go, when consecration starts to go, when conviction starts to go, when holiness starts to go, we start to lose a connection to the source of the light. And the light inside of us will start to grow dim. A lamp, it can only shine as long as it's got a source. And there are people trying to live on a spiritual charge that you received years ago. But yesterday's oil won't sustain today's battle. Yesterday's prayer is not a substitute for today's prayer. Yesterday's revival won't substitute for today's relationship with the Lord. There has got to be something fresh. There has got to be something new every morning where you take up that cross and you walk daily, where every day you say, Lord, it's another day and I might fall flat on my face, but I'm still going to live for you. I'm going to stay connected to the source. There's got to be something present and something alive, because the light can dim. The light can dim. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. He said, stir it up. Why stir it up? Because there are things that can become dormant in you. There are things that can become stagnant inside of you. There are things that can become neglected in your spiritual walk. There are things that can grow cold in your walk with God. And Paul said, stir up the gift that's in you. You need to stir it up. Don't wait for somebody else to do it for you, because nobody else can do it for you. Don't wait for a preacher to make you feel something. Don't wait for the music to move you enough. Don't wait for the right atmosphere. Don't wait until everything's just right in service or it's a special service. There's got to be something inside of you that says, I'm going after God again. I've got to get up out of this place I've been in. I've got to get up out of this grave that I've been digging, and I've got to run after Him again. Oh, somebody's got to get that tonight. I know some of you don't want this on a Wednesday night, but I'm trying to reach for you. You got to understand, I'm trying to reach for somebody tonight. I'm trying to reach through layers and layers and layers of strongholds and pride and sin and coldness and neglect. I'm trying to reach through all that stuff tonight and let somebody hear just a faint cry of somebody crying out and saying, wake up and rage against the dying of the light. You can still have the lamp and lose the oil. Jesus told, and I was so thankful last night. I was just thanking God, because I always ask Him, Lord, just give me some kind of clear confirmation about the direction I'm going. Last night, Pastor started talking about the 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. And I said, all right, I know I'm going the right direction, Lord. Jesus told a frightening story in Matthew 25. 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. All 10 had lamps. All 10 were waiting. All 10 looked like they were prepared, but 5 had oil and 5 didn't. And at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And suddenly the difference that was not so obvious before became very obvious. The foolish virgins said their lamps were there, but the oil was gone. They said, we need some, can we borrow some of yours? You can still have the appearance. You can still have the vocabulary. You can still know where to stand. You can still know when to sit down and stand up and go through the motions. And you can still know all the songs. And you can still know the order of service. You can still know what everybody expects you to say and how to look and how to sound and the things to do. But what matters is, where is the oil in your vessel? Is there still prayer? Is there still worship? Is there still repentance? Is there still hunger? Is there still a desire? Is there still a consecration? Is there still a relationship? Is there still oil in the lamp? Don't let darkness become a normal thing in your life. One of the most dangerous things about darkness is that your eyes eventually adjust to it. And that's a good thing in the natural. Thank God that if I'm in the dark for a little bit, I can eventually, my eyes will adjust. I can see a little better. I can tell where I'm going. It's not a good thing in the spiritual. I don't want to become accustomed to darkness. Walk into a completely dark room and see, you can't see anything. But stay there long enough, eventually you'll see shapes. Your eyes will adjust a little bit, and we do the same thing spiritually. We can become accustomed to things that once bothered us, things that used to prick our heart and make us feel that godly sorrow don't bother us anymore. Things we used to sit through, we couldn't sit through before, we'll sit through now. Things we would never abide before, We'll let it slide now. Commitments that we made on the night of our salvation, not really there anymore. We become accustomed to things that used to prick our heart. Things that convicted us don't bother us anymore. Things that grieved us don't grieve us anymore. Things that once made us run to an altar. Preaching that used to make us run to the altar, and we sit with our arms folded and we say, it's not that bad, but that's dangerous, because you don't have to just fall in love with darkness. You just need to become comfortable in it. You think, well, no, I'm still in the light. But all you see is shapes. All you're doing is stumbling around. Isaiah 60:1, arise, shine, for thy light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. I feel like the Lord is telling somebody tonight, arise. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Let God shine through you again. Let that light start to burn in you again. Rage against the dying of that light inside of you. Oh, I'm trying to reach for somebody tonight. Rage against the dying of the light. This is where I want to take Dylan Thomas's words and make them into a spiritual battle cry tonight. He said, rage against the dying of the light. Rage against anything that's killing your spiritual life. If bitterness is killing your light, then fight it. If unforgiveness is killing your light, fight it. If compromise is killing your light, fight it. If complacency is killing your light, fight it. If distractions are killing your light, get them out. If prayerlessness is killing your light, fight against that. If offense is killing your light, then fight against that. If discouragement is killing your light, deal with it tonight. If you're tired, keep going. If you're wounded, then get healed. If you've fallen, then get back up. If you've failed, then repent and come home. If you've grown cold, then get back to the fire, because somebody needs to make up in your mind, I'm not going to let the light die. Oh, somebody needs to say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I've got to get back to it. I've got to get back. I got to get back to that place. Psalm 51 is one of the greatest prayers of restoration in Scripture. I love Psalm 51. I love it. Oftentimes in personal times of repentance and asking the Lord to search my heart, I just pray Psalm 51. I'll get on my knees and I'll say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David understood something. He didn't need God to fix his reputation. He didn't need God to fix the way people saw him, people looked at him as the king. He needed God to fix his heart. He didn't need everybody else to think he was okay. To everybody around him, he very obviously was not okay. They even worried about him. They tried to get him to eat. They tried to get him to take care of himself. He wouldn't do it. He was repenting. He needed to be okay with God. And maybe that's where somebody is tonight. You've been trying to maintain the appearance of light. You've been trying to maintain the appearance of having it all together and hanging in there. You've been trying to maintain that look. But God isn't interested in you maintaining the image that everything is good. He wants your heart to be right. I'm telling somebody tonight that everything in our world today is fake. You look on social media, people are showing you a fake side of their life. Influencers are showing you a fake life that they live. Everybody shows you their highlight reel. Nothing you see on the screens, you can believe that everything's fake. And you can call me a conspiracy theorist. This world is fake. This world is fake. But we can't afford to have that in the church. We can't afford to just look like a walking highlight reel all the time. We need to forget about the highlight reel and get real in the altar and not be afraid to let somebody see you fall on your face and grip that carpet and say, God, I need you to fix my life. God, I need you to get a hold of my heart again. I can't live like this anymore. I can't live this charade anymore. I need to get back into a place with you again. He wants your heart. Maybe you're saying, I'm fine, but you're not fine. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're wounded. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you've been carrying something nobody knows about. Maybe your prayer life has gone cold. Maybe your worship has become difficult. Maybe you've been wondering, where did I go? Where did my walk go? Where did my fire go? What happened to me? Get back to God. I can't preach you some grand message that's going to tickle your ears and get you to these altars tonight. I'm trying to give you an old-fashioned altar call in this place tonight and tell somebody that you need to get back to a place where you say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I don't want to be in this fake life anymore. I don't want to live with my light dying anymore. I want to get back to you, God. I want to rage against the dying of the light. Create in me, renew in me, restore in me. And he is a God of restoration. He is a God of restoration. I love in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, he said, I'll restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I love that scripture. I love it because there's something just so powerful about it to me. Because sometimes that's how we feel. We feel like years of my life have been a charade. Years of my life have just been me convincing people I'm okay. Years of my life have been wasting time. Years of my life have been just neglect of my ministry, of my calling, of my walk. Years of my life has just been me barely scraping by and holding it together and just barely limping into church Sunday after Sunday. But the Lord said, I'll restore those years. I'll restore the years, the things that have eaten up those years and eaten up your light. I'll restore all that. And I love that word, restore. It's right here in our name, Restoration Apostolic Church, because we believe this is a house of restoration. God doesn't just forgive, he restores. He doesn't just bring you out, but he'll rebuild your life. He doesn't just rescue you from the pit, but he'll set your feet back on solid ground. Psalm 40 and 2 says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. God won't just pull you out of the pit and leave you laying there, but he will restore you. He will completely rebuild everything that has been destroyed and everything that has deteriorated in your life. God will rebuild it and restore it. There's somebody that needs to hear tonight that your story is not over. Oh, and I know that sounds like it can be stitched on a pillow, but I'm telling you for real tonight that your story is not over. It doesn't have to be. If you'll make up your mind that I'm not going to lay down and let this light die, but I'm going to rage against the dying of the light, the chapter you're in, it's not the last chapter. You may have lost some things. You may have wasted some time. You may have made some mistakes. You may have fallen flat on your face and failed. But Jesus is still here. And when Jesus is here, there's still hope. And I'm telling somebody tonight that his love never fails, that his mercy never runs out, that, oh. Some of us tonight, you need a personal revival. We talk about revival in the city. We talk about revival on campus. We talk about revival in your home. We talk about revival in the church. We talk about revival in the community. We talk about revival in our country. We talk about revival in our world. But before there can be revival around us, there's got to be a revival in us. We need a personal revival. Don't wait until you don't feel anything. Don't wait until you sit on the pew and you can't feel anything. Don't wait until you sit in the pew and you can't feel the Spirit of God moving on you. Don't wait until it's weeks and months that go by and you realize, I haven't prayed, I haven't read, I haven't spent any time with God. Don't wait until prayer feels impossible. Don't wait until the altar means nothing. Don't wait until you have no burden left. Don't wait until sin doesn't bother you anymore. Don't wait until the presence of God just becomes like just a familiar whatever. Rage against the dying of the light. And that's what somebody's wondering tonight. What do I even do? Because I'm in that place. I'm in that spot where I feel cold. I'm in that spot where I feel like I can't feel the Spirit of God moving in my life anymore. I'm in that spot where I go weeks at a time and I realize I haven't even thought about spending time with God. I'm in that place where I dread coming to church. I don't feel like it. It's because I don't feel like going through the motions one more time. I don't feel like faking my way through service one more time. I've seen people that felt like that, and their response was to just go into that night. Their response was to just walk into darkness. I'm this far gone, I think I'll just go ahead and walk into the night. I've seen it happen. But if you're in this place tonight and you're hearing the words that I'm saying, that means that God is reaching for you and that you are not too far gone. And you're saying, well, what do I do? I'm telling you what to do. Rage against the dying of the light. What does that mean? It means you've got to, if you've got just one little ember left inside of you, you need to stir it up. If you've got just one little ounce of strength to get to the altar and say, God, I need you again. If you've got just one little bit, then you need to grab hold of that one little inch of rope that you've got left and say, I'm not going to just go gentle into that night. I'm not just going to walk into darkness, but I'm going to turn around and I'm going to run back towards the light because he brought me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Musicians, you can go ahead and make your way tonight. I don't think I'm going to keep us much longer. I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving in this place. I don't want to overstay my welcome right here. I want to let God move. If you've noticed the light in your life getting dim, and you convince everybody else it's not happening, but you know all too well, I'm not where I need to be. My walk is not where it needs to be. And I say this, I reference this a lot, but it's because I've done it. I know that there are people in here tonight that sometimes when your head hits the pillow and you've got just a second of quiet from the noise of the day, when you're not looking at your phone and you're not scrolling for 2 seconds and there's just a silence, that the thought comes into your mind. Lord, if you're still coming, please don't come tonight. I've been in that place. When all of a sudden everything's quiet and you've got just a couple of seconds after your head hits the pillow and you think, God, if you're coming, please don't come tonight, because I'm not ready. I've got no oil in my lamp.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.